going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Say yes to Pure Leaf Tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf Tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallant.
Outdoor show. All right, it's 6:02 here in the Bayou City. Let's run down to Corpus Christi. Check in with Captain Cliff Webb. It dropped. Imagine that. All right. We'll try to get him back up. This happens. Must be a lot of people in Corpus this weekend. You never know. All right. Well, real quick, I'll check the winds. Got him back? All right, winds are still down. They're not up like they're calling for, but they're coming. All right, Cliff, good morning. What's up, man?
All good, buddy. All good. Mickey, you doing all right?
Couldn't be better. Well.
Yeah. I'm hoping this wind's going to stay down. Of course, it's really going to blow on Monday, so. It's been windy, but we've been catching them, man. It's been a really good week. I had a really special group of guys on Monday. I had the CCA guys, so Bill Kenny. You know, he's been there. He's been the director, I think. Yeah, I think he's fished with you and everybody on the coast.
Oh,
you know?
Bill's been around the block, buddy.
Yeah, and then they had Ryan Towers with them, and I had Troy Malden and all those really good fishermen. And so we get to the marina Monday morning. It was really funny. And It's good enough to wet wade, but we had a bunch of thunderstorms, you know, a bunch of storms around and stuff. So we decided to go ahead and put our waders on before we left, you know. So we got there before daylight, and And all these guys are sitting around the dock, and they're waiting on their people, you know, and I got my waders on, and all these guys are giving me a hard time about my waders. Man, it ain't going to rain, Webb. It's not going to rain, you know.
Right.
And God blessed me so good. We're sitting in the dock, and it rained 2.5 inches while they're waiting on their people. And all their people are walking up with no raincoats, soaking wet, and, you know, they're canceling trips. And I didn't say nothing. I just kept my mouth shut. You know, it's so good. But we pile in, and we wait till it kind of a little bit daylight so we can see the thunderstorms. And, I mean, there are storms all around us. I mean, big ones just dumping.
Oh, yeah.
It rained like 8 inches in Mansfield that day. And so we head down south, you know, and right when we get into Bath, and it's a little opening area there, it's clear, there's clouds all around us. So we troll them all into a spot, and we pile out, and we start nuking them on top water. I mean, you can feel that barometric pressure dropping. It's got that, it's got that feel where that hair is on your neck. I mean, you just tell us it's 29 points up, and it's going down, and then fish are smoking. They're making that popping noise when they're hitting the top water, you know. And so I let them all get out of the boat, and I power pole down to make sure the boat stays there. You know, when you get a bunch of big bubbles in a boat like me, well, when everybody gets out, the smart thing to do is push that power pole on the down button one more time, you know, because you take the weight out.
When you get all the weight out, the boat lifts up a little bit, and so does that power pole.
So I power pulled down, and I waited, you know, and I had a orange skitter walk on. They were out of pink. Everybody had my pinks, you know. I dished out all my pinks that morning, so I reckon I had an orange one. I step out the back of the boat, they're all spread out, and the first cast, smack, you know, I go, man, we're in, and the first cast, I catch a fish. And sometimes the first cast is the kiss of death, you know, but we stood there, and the major was like at 8:30 to 11, I think, on Monday, or minor. We had something going on there in the morning, and we started nuking, we started looking, and the sky just turns black around us, you know, so we got to go, you know. And so we pile back in the boat, you know, we run over this cabin, and on the way over there, the rods start humming. You ever heard that? When electricity is so hot, it's making that buzzing noise. Oh, my God.
That's not good. Lightning's going to strike good, pretty close.
I know it. So we tucked into this cabin, and we're sitting there in the cabin. That stuff's just cracking. I mean, you know, when it lightens and you hear the sound at the same time, you know it's close, and you can just feel it, you know. So
right.
I'm sitting there making the back of my mind and go, man, this is going to shut these fish down. I said, you know, usually when it lightens and stuff, we're in 2 foot of water, you know, with those fish. I said, man, it's going to blow them out of here. I'm just throwing them out. It's gonna bomb. We sat there for hours, let it rain and dump and dump. And finally, it slows up, you know, and it gets kind of nice out there. We're sitting there kind of licking our wounds, you know, and I look up and the bait's flipping. I go, what? And so we pull out there back in the same place we've been catching them. We get back out in there, you know, we all pile out and we start catching them again. You know, then Troy gets one over 6 pounds, you know, on top or smack, you know, and we're catching some nice fish, you know, all 4 to 6. I think we had maybe one close to 7, but we had some just really good fishing trip, you know, just crazy. And we just barely got out of there before the next storm came, and we come back. And then my buddy was down, Shader was down there in Mansfield, and he said that it rained so much in Mansfield, they just had to go back to the harbor, you know. And so I think it rained 8 or 9 inches in Mansfield, but. God, what a storm, man.
Yeah, I think I saw a post this past Monday. Trisha, her mother's house got flooded, got water in it from all that rain. It rained so much that fast. Mm. That's nuts.
Yeah, and so much fresh water came out of the Roar, it turned the entire land cut brown with fresh water. Just dumped that fresh water. So, it, you know, it's clearing up now, but and I followed that fresh water.
All it's going to do is help your fishing, man.
Yes, it does. You know, then I got some guys on Wednesday and I pull in my spot, you know, and it's brown. I said, man, look at this fresh water. Like, God, oh, you know, but it was enough salt in there to keep the fish, and the fish were still in there, you know. And
I got 13. How do you freshen up that salty water down there?
You know, not very much.
You just change the color of it and maybe drop the salinity, you know, 10, 15 parts. That's about all you're going to do.
Yes, it's crazy how much salt, you know. And I was talking to Hudson Moon yesterday. He caught an alligator gar on topwater back in Alazan. So,
hey, everybody's catching a ton of gar this year while they're trout fishing.
I don't know what's going on,
hey,
man. We never catch
gar are always where the trout are. I mean, I've seen that my whole life. You see gar rolling, you know you got trout around.
Yeah, that's unusual. I saw one giant when the land cut one day, you know, like a 5-footer, just cruising down the top of the land cut. We were bouncing lead heads off his back, you know. It was just, you know, it was crazy how those things show up, you know. But I think
how
you probably have
that
a lot
fish
more.
You here. Sent me that video of the other day that you caught.
See which one that I've seen so many.
Me one, but
was it the nine pound, the 914 that one?
It looked like a good no, not the one of the. It was you. One of your customers videoed you catching it.
Oh yeah, that was a good one. That was like 7.5, not a great fish. It's a 7.5 good fish.
Well, I figured 7.5 or 8. It was a good fish, and
yeah,
then I seen your head just snap and turn around and go, "Y'all smell that?"
Yeah, those slick right behind me. That was so
they're
cool.
Behind us, man, they're behind us.
I know. I wasn't going to fish, making my back was hurting, so I go back in the boat, and all these slicks start popping. My guys are smoking them, so I crawl out the back of the boat, you know, and I fire into the wind, smoked that thing, just smoked it, that 7.5 pounder. So I'm going circles, really, man, you know, and I turn around, there's a huge slick behind me. My guys walk over, they just start whacking him in that slick, you know. I said, all right, Cliff, go back to the boat, you're hurting him. But anyway, it's funny how you hurt a lot less from the fisher.
Slicks than any other way to fish there is.
God.
I love fishing slicks, especially
when they come up
open water with a trolling motor.
Yes.
Oh my God. That's my gig, baby.
Yeah, the best thing when you're waiting, one pops up upwind from you, turn around, you smell it, and that slick's coming toward you, you know those fish. Like that one day, we're sitting there, and all those slicks came right by us, and we hosed them for 2 hours, you know, right when the slicks went by.
You know what I call that smell? Bay Chanel. Yeah. Chanel number 5.
I know it, dude. It's awesome, man.
Well, if my wife had perfume that smelled like that, I'd never leave home. Call it trout slick. Nothing like it.
Man. Yeah, but when the seagulls start hovering over her head like that, it's time to give it up, right?
I love it, man. In the evening, sitting out on the patio, and you can smell slicks coming off the bay with a southeast wind. Boy, it just there's nothing better.
Oh, I hate it when you're coming in, you're tired, you're whooped, it's 3 or 4 o'clock, and you're going, and you're seeing all these slicks popping, and your guys are turning their head. You smell that? Look at that slick over there. I go, I know, we're whooped. We go home and lick our wounds, but they're still here. That's good stuff. That's real good.
Yeah, it is. But,
we got a big weekend here in South Texas. We got the sea sculptures in Port Aransas, and
I've seen some videos on that. Those people get serious about sandcastles and stuff, don't they?
I mean, they got dump truck full of sand up on the beach just to make a castle. But the amount of people that come across this bridge, so they come across the JFK causeway when they turn left to Port Aransas, it's going to be stacked up from the bridge to Port Aransas. It's going to be that bad. So,
boy, howdy.
I think I'll be working on the boat or something.
Yeah,
down, you know?
I'm with you, man.
You know, stay away from that stuff. God almighty. But it's a big economic boost for Port Aransas. I mean, every cart, every business just booms for 3 days. You know,
I would imagine.
But it makes it hard on the locals. I feel sorry for them. Man, they just hunker down and they don't leave the house. It's kind of like
but look how good y'all got it when nobody's down there. Nothing like it.
I know it, man.
Nothing like you during the week.
I know, and I'm hoping it's going to be like that when you come down. I'm so excited about you coming. That's awesome, man.
I hate it. John messed up and didn't call you back to get that Monday. But hey, well, it gives us a chance to go fish with Rihanna one day. And
My God, that's going to be awesome, you know.
And then finish up the trip with you. I'm hoping. I'm hoping everything comes together. I'm
I hope
ready.
The weather's good because the fishing. If we can just get the wind down a little bit, we'll get open fields. You know, it's going to be good. The fish are there if we just get the window, Mickey.
Now,
that's
you know
the deal.
Me.
You know.
Let's go fishing.
Bring some of the mirror lures with you. Bring some of the mirror lures with you, buddy.
7Ms? Boy, I'm getting
I still got the one
on
you gave me.
Man, my buddies have been bumming them off of me, and I'm running out of them. I got to make an order. I got to call Mike or call Eric. Just call him direct.
I got my stash ready for him, and I got so funny because these fish been on top waters, and a lot of the stores are out of the colors. You know, you think that they would, you know, every year they're on the same colors this time of year. You think they'd stock up, but a lot of these stores are already out.
Supplies are low right now. I mean, I've been to a few, you know, the box store like Sporting Goods, and they don't have anything in there. Nothing but trinket trash on the shelves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the tackle stores are so busy right here. I mean, I stood in line for an hour to get some stuff I needed, you know. I just need a couple little things to go in there you think you got to have, you know. So,
yeah, I used to love to stop at Roy's down there.
That's what I did, yeah.
Is that where they got everything? Roy's?
Of course, yes. You know, yeah, that's they got everything. When they start running low on stuff, you know it's busy. God almighty.
I'm telling you, brother. All right, well, let me get busy and do a break real quick, and I'll come back to you, man. Hang on a second. All right. Well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about the Belleville Meat Market. When you get there, check out their smoked sausage samples. They're available daily in the store with a full menu of pecan smoked barbecue. That's served Monday through Sunday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m., along with pecan smoked pulled pork, homemade hot dogs, and check out their bulk pricing. It's available on their fresh ground beef and all their pecan smoked sausage. And homemade hot dogs, original, are with cheddar cheese, hamburger patties, stuffed pork tenderloins, stuffed peppers, stuffed mushrooms. Let Belleville Meat Market be your backyard barbecue and block party headquarters. And check out their new Chuck Wagon patties. They're half-pound beef patties seasoned and loaded with cheddar cheese. And their wild game processing, they have that new sausage recipe available. Check it out. You got to try it. It's really good. Get you some deer tamales and venison hot dogs made also. Your family will love that you did. The Belleville Meat Market, celebrating 42 years serving the greater Houston community. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It's 6:19 here in the Bayou City. All right, Cliff, we're back.
All right, man. I was going to give a shout out to my buddy. He buries the guy, his foreman on his ranch, LaPera, got hit by a big snake yesterday, a big rattlesnake right in the calf.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I just got a text back from Barry. He's going to be okay, but they gave him a whole bunch of antivenom. You know, it was a big snake, too, like one of them 5 or 6 footers, you know.
Oh, Lord.
Arturo's worked out there, I think, I don't know, all his life out there. Well, as long as I've been hanging out with Barry, and he takes care of that ranch, and he's around those snakes all the time, and one got him good, man, right in the calf. He's by himself, too. It's amazing. He got out of there, you know, all right, but showed a picture of him in the hospital there. But that guy's something else, man. But, man, them big snakes is something, you know. I think about this year, I'm always threatening to buy those snake boots because, you know, we dove hunt so much. It's just, I'm around them all the time. So this year I told myself I'm going to get some of them snake bites. I don't know if I could take a hit like that, man.
Not at our age.
No,
bad news. In any age, but you know, it affects everybody differently, you know, kind of like COVID did, but it's Lord.
I just kind of like, you know, I know if a drive by it or how much venom they put in you, a lot of stuff goes out there, but anyway, I'm gonna get a shout out to him. That was crazy, man. God almighty, man. But anyway, so back to my fishing. I was gonna tell you on Wednesday, I had a really neat father and son. I had Tom and his son Tio, and Tio's 13 years old. He reminds me of my old fishing buddy Liam. When I started out with Liam, he was a little bitty and fished with him all the way till he discovered girls, and now he's probably got cars. And
then
he's
adios, got his own boat. I'm out of here.
Out of here. I'm tired of your old man. I'm going to catch more fish by myself probably, but he's doing good. But, man, this 13-year-old was an absolute fishing machine, Mickey. Oh, my God. He he hangs around the neighborhood where he's at, I think, by Richardson or something. He used to live, I think, by Wharton. I think they moved to Richardson or something like that. Anyway,
Richmond,
he's got a bunch,
Richmond.
Richmond, yeah. He's got a bunch of bass lakes all around the neighborhood. Oh, every day after school, he walks to those bass lakes and fishes every day, you know, and catches those bass. But, you know, he shows up, he's got his Waterloo rod, he's got his baits reel, and he ties his own leader, Mickey, 13, right. He's tied his own leader. You know, how many 13-year-olds whip out a leader real quick, you know? And you know, he's 13, so he's not real tall, so I'm trying to find some spots I can wade, you know, where I don't drown him. And I pull up in there, he's got his waders on, he pops out, got all of his gear and stuff, and he's throwing the top water, you know, and just firing it out there about 50 yards, you know, and there's a lot of grass. There's a lot of grass in the water. So you work it back maybe 3 or 4 foot and you get a bunch of grass and those fish were smoking it, but they wouldn't eat it, Mickey. They blow up on it and just, you go to set the hook and the plug's still there. Like, God. Wow. And I think a lot of it was, you know, it was so much grass on the plug and it was just before the miner, it was just before they started eating, you know. And then the fish had moved off away from their shelf, and I got out there in about 4 foot of water, and we couldn't reach them, you know, with the waders. I had to get in the boat, so I double drift anchor, pull up there, and they were blowing those plugs out of the water. We catch 1 out of 5. It was crazy how they just wouldn't commit. Tommy had one. Tommy had a monster fish jump over a super spook. I mean, like it was a hurdle. He just jumped over it. And I said, well, he's going to come back. He's going to come back. He didn't come back. You know, fire worm in there, fire plastic, and don't come back. Like, what's going on? And I just, you know, the major was ahead of us. We're catching them, and it's getting windier. So now I've got 2 36-inch drift anchors out trying to drift through the flat. And we're getting blows, but we're not hooking them, Mickey. I think we caught one big red in there and some nice trout, but just couldn't get those big ones to commit. And I could tell that the young man was getting antsy. So I said, hey, man, I got a flat over here a few miles away. It's got a bunch of reds on it. You want to go catch some reds on topwater? And of course, he said, yes, sir. And I said, let's go, man. And I go over to these redfish, this white sand, Mickey. They're everywhere. We're just walking around them like, and they won't eat nothing. I mean, you can flip a bait at them, flip the plastic, and they follow it and bump it with their nose and turn off. It just makes you absolutely crazy, you know? But we catch the trout, you know, catch the trout in there. And then, in fact, Tommy had a real big one on topwater. He's throwing topwater out there and just smoked it. And bowed that rod double up, straightened the hooks out, and got off. But it was definitely a trout. But
yeah,
it's funny when those redfish.
You find them big mammoths in there with those redfish like that a lot of times.
Yes, and that was the same flat that Tobin Strickland, the guy that has trout support, went in there.
Right.
And we caught them in the same flat, the redfish with the big trout. We caught 2 big trout in there with those redfish. You know, it's just crazy. But anyway, make a long story short, I thought to myself, man, I wish I would have left those trout. But, you know, you got to make a call there. The trout were just blowing it. We wouldn't eat it. And so we had this brainstorm. We were out there and let that boy catch a bunch of reds. This, the reds weren't in the game. It was, but the amount of redfish we got is stupid in there. God, hey.
Slot reds, good ones?
Slot reds, just 23 to 27. And there'll be four or five of them swim by you, and you throw at them, and they stop and fall right to you and then swirl your feet. I mean, it's just crazy. I've caught one or two, but it's just amazing how whatever they did, they ate early in the morning, they were done. You know, it's nothing worse than
aggravating. That is, man.
Yeah, for them to do that when I got a 13-year-old, how rude. I don't mind they do it when I got a bunch of guys fish all the time, but I wanted that 13-year-old to whack him. I mean, T.O. was just a fishing machine, man. I cannot believe how good that guy was. He stayed with it all day long, you know.
Well, he bass fishes. I mean, people that had never fished saltwater before, if they've bass fished, I want them in my boat.
Bring I'm the same them. Way. That's what I told his dad. That's what I told his dad. Bass fishermen, they have no trouble grinding, throwing plugs. They got
they
it.
Adapt
some
to
of my
it
very
so
best
easily.
Fishermen, yes, come from the bass world. Some of my very best trout pluggers come from the bass plug. You know, look at the Crone brothers down here.
Yeah.
You know, Bart and Brett. They came from the bass world, show up 37. They were bass fishermen, and they smoke it in the saltwater. They're so good. They got killer finesse, you know. So that bass fishing really teaches you how
it
to
does.
Fish.
Yeah, because bass fishing can be awful slow.
Yes, it can. Yeah, I know it.
And anybody bass fishes, they know what the grind is all about, and they don't mind grinding in saltwater until these fish light off, and then they go crazy over it.
And that's what T.O. was changing baits, constantly changing baits.
Freshwater people switch to saltwater than saltwater people switch to freshwater.
Yeah, I agree with you. Yeah. I got a problem. I love any kind of fishing. They're just, man. The only thing I hadn't done is ice fishing. That's about the only thing I haven't done.
No, they can have that, too. You know, unless you got me one of those shanties out there on ice with a heater in it and TV and drill my old hole and sit there and drink cold beer and jig up and down like dirty old men or whatever, grumpy old men.
Grumpy old man. That was a good one, yeah.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Well, I hope I don't have to cut any holes in Bath. I hope I don't have to cut any holes in Bath and Bay this winter. Man, that'd be a bummer.
No, we don't want any of that around this place.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that's... hot colors on top waters right now are pink and orange, huh?
Pink and silver, then orange. You know, pink and silver's been smoking, then orange. Because sometimes they get on orange. And it's funny because the first week of May here, these fish smoke an orange in the surf.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on, but...
I remember you and Doug, y'all used to smoke them on orange redfin brokenbacks, those golden orange.
All the time. All the time this time of year, you know?
Yeah.
And then golden orange jumping minnows, that was a smoker. Remember that one that had that kind of a shiny finish with an orange belly? They knocked the paint off of?
The leaping minnow.
Yeah, they just killed that thing. But what's so cool about our surf now, we got the sargasso weed right now back, so that means a lot of good fishing, you know?
Yeah. Same way up here. There's a lot of weed up here, too.
Mm-hmm. We're a week away from some very good trout fishing in the surf. I feel it.
Not only we have a lot of weed floating into the west end of Galveston this past week, but big bricks of cocaine were floating up, too.
We saw that, too, on the island here. They were showing on the
boy, somebody made a big dump in the Gulf, didn't they?
God almighty. They got a little nervous, didn't they?
I guess the Federales got after them. Coast Guard or somebody, man. They went to dumping.
We saw that in Mexico one time. I know I was probably in my 30s, and we pull up on this giant bell of dope in the ocean in the Pacific. And Chicano looks at that, and he goes, nope. He just drives off. You know, just not putting that in my boat.
No, sir.
He was afraid of that. No, sir. He just drives right off it. You know, I had a couple of fish under it, too, and a couple of Dorado floating under it, you know. But it's funny how that stuff floats around out there, but. You know how it is, Mickey. You pick up some of that stuff like that to go make some money. They're going to hammer you. You know,
way my luck runs, I'd be busted before I ever got it out of the boat, man.
Yeah,
you know?
They'd be watching it. You know, that's just my luck, you know.
I'll just steer like clear of that. I made it this long without being in trouble. I'm going to finish it out on the good side.
I know it, man. I look at those commercial fishermen back in the old day. They dump these big gill nets in the middle of Bath and Bay, you know. And then they just, when they go pick it up, they wonder, okay, man, is somebody watching me till I get half this debt in my boat and going to bust me? So, you know, it was kind of like that thing. If they get it in, they're going to make it. If they don't, they're going to go broke. You know,
but, that's it. But the, you know, the punishment wasn't enough for that. Those guys,
no, sir.
They'd get them another net and get back after it. Because, man, mm-hmm. the reward was so good if they got by with it.
Yeah, so. we the fine was $200, and they catch 2,000-3,000 pounds of fish. So, you know, it kind of that was what was going on.
I know. We played that game up my way forever. Those guys just would never give up. I mean, mm-hmm. they kept going. All right, let me do this break. I'll be right back at you, buddy.
All right, Mickey. All right,
hang on. All right, well, I need to take a moment to tell everybody about Boyd's One Stop, the home of the supercharged, super slimy powerhouse croakers. They're located right at the base of the Texas City Dike at 227 Dike Road. And if you're looking for quality live bait for your next fishing trip, look no further than Boyd's. From their tanks to your live well, that bait's as good as it can possibly be. And there's no better way to live your bait or your tournament catch than with the oxygen response system. Check them out firsthand at the store. They have them on display. If you need more info, call Jason Cogburn at 281-701-8107. While you're by the store, check out all their wild-caught guff shrimp, no farm-raised at Boyd's. Right now they're in the middle of crawfish season. It's game on right now, and nobody supplies crawfish like Boyd's, and no better price and quality. Call them at 409-945-4001 or check them out at boydsonestop.com. When you do, please tell them Captain Mickey sent you.
MLB.tv is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.tv. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
All right, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. It is 6:35 here in the Bayou City. All right, Mr. Cliff Webb, we are back.
All right, man. I was going to tell you, they opened up Bluff Landing. So we've had this deal where everybody was coming over to 37 because they shut down those ramps on the other side of Fire Bluff. Well, somebody bought that marina, and yesterday opened it back up to the public.
Oh, really? And, cool.
Man, what a game changer. I got a text from Barry this morning. He put in there and says, man, it's open, because they were having to drive all the way from the Bluff or in town all the way across the JFK Causeway to put in, you know, to go. When it's just right there. Now they put in the Bluff and boom, they're right there. So it saves everybody 30 minutes of trailering, you know. So
yeah, that's great.
That's
plus
a game changer.
Keeps you from being so congested over on your side.
Yeah. And what the guys were doing that, you know, live on the other side, they bring their boat at 7 o'clock in the afternoon and park it at the dock and leave it all overnight. And so there was no dock space to get in there. So now they don't have to do that. So I'm looking forward to a lot less pressure. So. Until right. school gets out, and yeah. there's no place to hide, you know?
Yeah, I know. It won't be long. These kiddos will be out of school and ready to hit the water, man.
Oh, I know it. Man, it's going to be crazy out there. I think it's around May the 19th or something we get out here, something like that. I can't remember what it is. It's like that third week of May, I think, when our school's let out. Probably the same thing in Houston.
Yeah, probably so. It's looking... Yeah. That sounds about right.
Uh-huh. But, you know, getting back to that.
Well, they have to start so early. They start in August now.
That's what I was going to say. Back in our day, we didn't start till after Labor Day. After September, you know. So things have changed there. They go back a lot earlier. And
yeah, they do.
I kind of, you know, it's kind of like it's right in the middle of hurricane season when everybody's shuffling going back to school. And I'm hoping that we don't have an active season this year. I don't know what they're saying about it, but man, it's always when you live on the island, it's always tense time when you get this time of year. We live right on the beach, so it can get you pretty quick here.
Yeah, it can.
So yeah. I buy my stuff every year. I think, well, I'm not going to buy that Windstorm. Well, it gets a little close, you start getting nervous. You go ahead and get it. So that's
you got to have it, man.
You got to have it, man. It's part of living here. But, you know, I think about all the years we did have a hurricane, how good the fishing was after it, though, Mickey.
Oh,
man,
I know.
I don't know. You know. Oh,
probably the best fishing I've ever seen behind a hurricane was after Alicia in 1983.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, I'm serious. You could stop in the middle of nowhere and just start fishing and get into just so many piles of fish. I don't know how many fish. Well, Ike was a close second, you know, after it. But I'd never. Mm-hmm. I said, man, how many fish got blown in here from the Gulf? And I mean, it was just absolutely stupid. I mean, you didn't have to be on a reef or your favorite shoreline or anything. I mean, everywhere you drove, there was just all these millions of piles of slicks all over the bay, and you could go blindfolded and just cut the key off and start a drift, and you're going to drift into a huge school of trout or reds. Man, it was absolutely stupid.
Oh man. I remember that one storm we had that pushed the tide up real high, and all these fish got trapped in these ponds up behind the islands.
Really?
Fish are in there. And old Billy Sandiford, that's the guy that ran the beach all the time.
I remember old Billy,
back.
Man. What a great guy.
Man, I'd see his truck up parked next to sand. I go, what is he doing? And I look up, and they were bringing those fish over on stringers and putting them back in the Gulf. They were carrying them alive, and they were skinny. They're like as big around as your arm. Little redfish, just skinny, skinny, skinny. And they're bringing them back and letting them go in the Gulf. I said, man, that's pretty cool, Billy.
Yeah,
but he said, you
is.
Talk about aggressive fish. He said you could throw a lead head out there and they'd eat it.
They were so hungry. Man, they were starving to death. Know? They had no bait.
Yeah. He said he threw a topwater in the middle of one of them ponds, just about 2 acres. He started working. He could just see the Vs coming from all over the pond out in the middle trying to get that topwater. And he
like
said he got them all.
Man.
Yeah. He got them in the center there, and they just started putting them on the stringers, you know, and taking them over to the Gulf and getting them out of there. But that was pretty amazing to see that, you know, they got trapped back there. But another thing that was crazy is how much tackle was in the first and second gut. So that big storm rolled up that big bunch of seaweed and stuff.
Right.
And all along the sand dunes, there were hundreds of pounds of lead heads and spider weights, and people were going down and filling up 5-gallon buckets, taking their pocket knife and cutting those. Yes, because all those people, all those years along the jetties were throwing all those, you know, big weights and breaking off or something, and that stuff was all in the sand. And that storm rolled that seaweed over the top and hooked all that line up and rolled it. So it just cleaned out all those guts all the way to Mansfield.
Gosh.
And the amount of shark rigs and stuff. People were just loading their tackle boxes up 2 days after that storm, just picking up trash. But, you know, it's funny how Mother Nature cleans it up. You know, Mother Nature cleaned that beach up.
A hurricane will do it. We don't ever want them because they destroy.
I don't want one. I'm happy with dirty water. I'm good.
Yeah, I'll deal with the lead weights and stuff on the bottom.
Yeah.
Well, I can assure you there's one place that you could mine the lead off the bottom of that place, and that's over at Sabine Lake on the bottom end of that lake when everybody used to drag those worms behind the boat. And all those shell beds down there, they got to be contaminated with lead.
Mm-hmm.
It was nothing to lose 100 jig heads in one day with customers down there, man.
Well, it's going to be so interesting to see what happens when a storm comes, because they cut all these big canals in here, and the first time they opened up, it damaged all the bulkheads here. I told you about that. That storm came and washed people's lots away and all this stuff. Well, now they fixed all the bulkheads, and they're just getting ready to finish this bridge. It's going to be done in about maybe another 3 or 4 weeks. And they're going to knock all those barriers down and let our white cap channel, all these canals back here, flow full of Gulf water. And I'm looking at that. I'm going, man, what's going to happen when a big storm comes? It's going to change my area. You know, it's going to.
Yes.
I may have water in my backyard. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens when a hurricane comes.
Yeah, you may want to invest in flood insurance. It's not that expensive anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking about it too. But
I mean, seriously, you got to think about that, buddy.
Because it may come over the bulkheads. But the thing that I'm excited about is how many years of this system been closed. And how much garbage is in those channels? It's going to flush it out. It's going to flush this whole system out and wash these canals out. So that'll be a wonderful thing if all that stuff doesn't go in the upper Laguna Madre and pollute it. But it's getting ready to change, buddy. That's a game changer having those canals open.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be a lot of
didn't it, man?
Yes, and it's going to be a lot more current.
You know, it's been a long time since I've heard about brown or red tide down there. Knock on wood. I don't want that to happen.
I know.
But remember, that used to be a pretty common occurrence down your way.
You know, I wonder, Mickey, if that was some of that shrimp farm stuff down south. Everybody said that was what was going on, that shrimp farming, when they released all those.
I heard the same thing, too. I was kind of wondering about that, you know.
Now the shrimp farms are gone. We hadn't had any brown tide. The only time we get it is after a real strong wind or something. It stirs some of the brown powder up off the bottom. It's dead brown tide and doesn't last long. Mm-hmm. But overall, now what concerns me is how hot the summer gets. That's the killer now, Mickey, is. So what's going to happen in late July and August and September if that water temperature stays, you know, over 100 degrees? I mean, air temperature over 100 is going to make our water temperature 90, and a lot of those fish are going to move south. You know, so hopefully last year didn't happen.
Yeah, that's
kind of
what happened to you. Was it year before last, that summer?
Year before last.
Down there?
Yes, we lost a lot of fish. They went south. But the cool thing is when we had we had a lot of good rain, and hopefully it's going to help us out. But I think the heat is our big concern now. It seems like our summers are a lot hotter than they used to be, Mickey.
Well, I've laid in bed awake at night trying to figure out what makes those fish grow faster and bigger in your part of the country than anywhere else on the coast. It's just, you know, and the one thing it comes, it's like less tide and saltier, you know, higher salinity rates.
Saltier, salinity levels.
Think about that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Just like the Indian River in Florida, heavier salt around that area that with the big trout are. And also these fish develop on eating bait fish, mullet and perch. There's not as many shrimp eaters. The shrimp eaters
shrimp
are there, of course,
shad.
Everything eats shrimp.
You don't have the small bait fish. Those fish.
Right.
They primarily feed on mullet.
Yeah, and they get bigger, and you know, especially in the winter. So that's one thing I like about the winter. A lot of the little, smaller fish move into the upper lagoon. You know, follow the shrimp and small perch out and shad stuff. But those big resident fish, they know they can survive on mullet in the flats when it gets cold. And you know, if you're 30 inches long and you eat a pound mullet, you don't have to eat but maybe once or twice a week.
That's it.
And they become lazy and lethargic, and they don't want to go 30, 40 miles.
Well, they absorb every bit of nutrition they can out of that one big mullet that they eat, and they hold on to it forever. That's why you don't see a lot of slicks in the winter, because they hold on to it. They don't burp it up to feed again.
That's right. They hold on to it. They need the protein.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And you know, the gill netters back in the old days, so they would set those nets in front of those cold fronts when the temperature was dropping, and they knew where those fish were going. They knew where those fish were going. And it teaches you where they go when it's really cold. They don't have much choice. They're going to the deepest, muddiest bottom they can find.
They do the same thing up my way. Man, that's when they used to nuke the trout in them big cold fronts. Because you got that big movement of fish, you know.
And they hadn't eaten. That's another thing is, so they shut down for 2 or 3 days, and then when they feel like it's over, everybody eats at one time. And that's what made those great, you know, big fish frenzies.
They're going to move. They're going to look for
food. I talk about that bombing targets in Baton, where those big poles are in the middle of Baton, where they drop those big concrete bombs on that made those big holes in the bottom back 40 years ago when I first started guiding. And we thought that's where all the big fish were. You know, when it got cold, they would go in those 19, 20-foot holes. And we would just set on top of them with those big red rubber worms with the three yellow spots on the tail that muckeroid make. And we'd catch monsters, you know, Ernie Butler. We'd catch monsters out there. And if we would have known what we know now, that after they quit biting and they leave those holes, they pull right up on those shelves, you know, all those flats and stuff, you know. And, you know, we kind of, well, it's over now. You know, it's the next cold front. We learned that those fish would come up in that shallow water, and they're still feeding. They'd come up there and eat those mullet in that mud. But, you know, it's just
that was always a great pattern up here behind those cold fronts, you know, a good strong one. As soon as that tide started to move back up on those mud flats, it would get so warm with that sunshine and high pressure. And, whew, man, you catch some gorillas up in that shallow water like that after a cold front.
Oh, I know. I remember, you know, when we first got trolling motors, pulling up those flats and gunning the trolling motor, look at all the big wakes. I mean,
yeah, watch them
so
bump
excited.
Up. Yeah, man.
Oh, that was so much fun, man.
We used to do that with reds out in open water in 8 and 10 feet of water. I'd start up the outboard and put it in neutral, rev it up.
Make them ruffle.
Just start blowing up everywhere. And everywhere.
Yeah, I've seen that
over there. I said, are you kidding me? Seriously? That's only an acre.
Yeah, we used to do that here too.
Fire that trolling motor up and head that away. Start casting.
Oh man, that was some fun stuff. Mud, you know, back when I had the flat bottoms. Yeah, the flat bottoms. We would run right in the middle. We called buffalo hunting, and so we just want to catch a couple instead of, you know, sitting outside the school of reds and eating two of the trolling motor. We just run right out of the middle. Everybody cast, you know. It's like everybody shoot.
That's what,
you know,
we did back in the day on those open water, you know, reds like that when you had a big old strawberry field of them. I just, yeah. I called it John Pulled Wayne fishing, kicking the door down, baby. Go in on plane.
That was fun though, wasn't it?
Just turn the key off and yeah. just slide into them, bust them.
I remember that I had this couple from Austin, and they brought these two ultralight spinning rods, and they're like 6-pound test ultralights.
Oh,
and they all missed where we're going to catch these big fish. And I pull out of the marina, and I pull into a school of 35 to 38-inch redfish. I mean, monster pigs.
Yeah, let's see some of this.
Oh, dude, it was so good. So the girl throws off starboard side. The other guy throws off port. They both hook up. They both get spooled. And they just pull down to the lot. And luckily, I had some mono on the boat. So I spooled them back up, I think, with 12-pound mono, you know, and they were able to finish the day. But you talk about they were tied in that drag down as tight as it would go, you know, and that it's just still squealing like a pig. It was just peeling that line.
There wasn't no slowing that down with that.
Well, you know, I had the trolling motor down. You know, do I go left to get her fish or do I go right to get his fish? I thought, well, he would probably do better if I got her fish. So I turned the trolling motor on toward her fish, and it was game over. It got to the knot, and it's not like a 22 going off when it got to the knot, you know.
Well, that's like bear hunting with a switch right there, buddy.
Yeah. Man, that ultralight's fun and stuff.
300 mag.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I got a guy here on Laguna Shores that fishes. He's an ultralight guru. He's so good. Mm-hmm. He fishes 6-pound test, and when those glass minnows are in, he fishes that little bitty tsunami bait. I know you've seen it. It comes in a package.
It's got they're already pre-rigged tail. With a jig head in
it. Yes, it's already pre-rigged. It's only maybe about 2 inches long. He put that on an ultralight, I think 10-pound fluorocarbon, and he hooks those big 27-inch fish. He fights them for a day, you know. He gets them in, but he has a blast doing that, you know.
Yep.
But the deal is you'll be waiting with him with your 20-pound leader and your 30-pound braid, and you're working. You're catching a tenth of the fish he's catching because he is matching what they're eating. They're eating those little glass minnows, and that little single glass minnow comes through there, and that trout goes, man, that's easy, and they smoke it. But you know, he's got the patience to get him in. I watched him one day, this big trout rolled down in the grass. It is stuck in the grass. So he's just, I mean, the fish is on there, but it's not moving.
He can't pull him out of there with that light line.
No. So he has to walk over there and kind of hold the rod up over the top of him until he takes off again out of the grass and makes a big mud streak. That's just fun watching him, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's definitely not worried about eating fish. He's just having fun. That's the best part.
Well, that's kind of the way it is now. I mean, you know, a lot of people, you know, the old meat haulers, they've gone over to Louisiana to fish now. They don't even fish here.
I know it. I haven't kept fishing. We haven't kept nothing this week. It's crazy.
No, there's no point in it. Three fish isn't going to make your break, you know.
Well, you know, and just like I tell these guys, look, you can keep three fish anytime you want between 15 and 20 inches. You're not hurting this system at all. There's millions of them. Not even knocking a dent in it. But my guys are so pumped up on catching big fish, they don't want to waste the time to even take a stringer, you know. Then you have the guys that want to say, man, I'm going to have a fish, you know, eat some fish when we get home. Just at 11 o'clock, let's take a stringer and get us a couple of these
well, the problem
fish.
I have no fishing problem. Down your way, I got to carry a stringer because I might catch that 34, 35-inch
oh,
fish.
Oh, yes, sir. You
I
sure
promise
might,
you
buddy.
A tag's going to go in his butt and he's going to the taxidermy.
I know it, man. I don't blame you. And we've seen some fish, and I think one of the guys, I can't think who it was, almost snapped the boga on a 34-incher. He said it was 34 to 35 inches. And this guy's really good. He's fished a lot, and he just didn't get the deal done. But, you know, and I have these people ask me, this guy's asked me since CC the other day, he says, hey, man, you think there's a 38-inch fish out there, a 40-inch fish out there? I'll guarantee you there's a 36, 37-inch fish out there. Maybe a 40, maybe. Because you think, you know, that just like in some of those freezes back in the 40 where it killed everything, the parks and wildlife would set out a big gill net in front of the land cut and stuff and still catch a couple of trout over 15 pounds. It's in records. You know, there's still some big ones left. And I think these big fish get educated. I think they know what to do when it gets cold, you know?
Well, the netters I knew, they caught a lot of fish in the 13 to 15-pound class in Trinity Bay.
Oh,
back in
God,
the day.
Same here. Oh, man. I wish they would have weighed some of those fish the Parks and Wildlife caught back in that day. They caught that one, you know, that was 36 and a half inches, whatever that, and they weighed it and took it to Bucky's Fish House and all that. But there was some of that stuff. They just piled them on the boat and, you know,
yeah,
took them in.
Yeah, didn't somebody catch a giant one down there one time and freeze it in a block of ice or something?
Yes, that was in Bucky's Fish House. That was in a, we picked that up in a, my, the old man picked up a webbing. It was 6-inch webbing. Those guys were fishing for those big bull drums. You know, big
right.
bull drum, they sold them back then for drum. And that fish was in 6-inch webbing. And it was
wow.
rolled up so bad they couldn't release it. They put it in that block of ice there at Bucky's Fish House, and everybody came to see it. But I remember this one fish. I was a kid, and they pulled it over the side of the game warden boat, and this fish is still alive. It's a monster trout. I mean, it's just huge. And it was barely in there, and the guy, we didn't weigh it enough. He just took an ice pick and went around his gills and released it, and it flopped in the water and swam off.
My gosh.
Like to know to this day how big that trout was. I remember the mouth on it. I remember those two big old white fangs sticking out of the face. Oh, my God, they were huge. And I wanted to see it. I wanted to see it. And Herndon, the boatman, says, no, he's still alive. We'll let him go. He runs that ice pick around him and lets that toad go. And it just looked like a bull red with a trout head on it. You know, it was just a monster trout. So that was another one of those that I would like to see with that way, you know. Golly.
Man. The mystique of the big trout.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, I think it was somebody found that skull. It's on Speckled Truth about they found that skull. I might have been Mike McBride that found that skull laying on the shoreline. And they guessed that fish to be, you know, 40 inches long just from the skull.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, but it's,
that fish had a head on him like Eddie Munster there, buddy.
He did. Oh, I hope you catch Eddie Munster when you're down here, buddy. We're going to fish for a big one. We're
hey,
not going to be another big
fish. It don't matter. I'm coming. I hadn't gotten away since deer season. I'm ready to make a move, man. Do something different.
Well, I'm excited you get to fish with Rihanna in the back of the bay like that, where she's fishing. So you get both, you know, you kind of get the whole area, you know, and I'm sure Rihanna's going to put you on some big fish. She's really good, and I'm excited about you getting to meet her and fish with her and stuff. That's
going to
be awesome, man. And so the day that you're fishing with her, I'm fishing with Roland. You know, Roland
Altinger.
Yes, and he was so nice. He said, "Well, if they can't go with Rihanna, says you just bring Mickey on and we'll all fish together." He's such a nice guy, man. He was so nice.
Oh, he is. Roland and I have had some great trips together, man. They don't.
That's what he told me.
Him and his brother Peter, they don't come any better than those guys, man.
Yeah, I think Carl's coming too on this trip, but man, it was just a super, super, super bunch of guys. They told me all those big fish you used to catch over there, Mickey, with those guys. Holy cow, man!
Yeah,
God,
and
just like Kenny. You know, Bill Kenny was talking about the day he had with you. God, you guys caught some big fish on jumping minnows. Man.
Yeah, we used to have some really big fish in this bay system up here.
Oh, man.
Well, in the day that I caught that 93-pound stringer, I could have done better than that if I didn't have to leave. There was some.
You didn't have to leave. I forgot what you were doing.
I was down in trout heaven. I was standing
waist
deep in trout heaven for this bay system up here, and had to leave him.
God.
He had to go get married.
I remember that
sick.
Story. Oh, my God.
I wanted to throw up.
That's like when I'm standing all those giant fish, and I called Doug Pike, and it's like 10 o'clock, and I said, "Doug, I'm catching giant trout." I said, "Get down there." He goes, "I got to work." I said, "Well, quit your job." I said,
yeah.
"You can always get a job. You can never catch
fish
like
I was
this.
In, everybody to quit their job. I promise you.
I mean, I you know.
All right, buddy. Well, I got to roll, man.
All right, buddy.
Cliff, throw them out a number. Somebody wants to come down and fish with you, bud.
All right, Mickey. Area code 361-949-0707. Hey, thanks for having me on, Mickey.
You got it, dog. See you, man.
All right, bud. Later.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's show. We'll be back in the morning, bright and early, 4 a.m., right here at Sports Radio 610 KILT Houston.